Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flights of Fantasy, your podcast book club. I am Christina, one of your hosts, and I'm joined, as always, by my book besties, Anna and Kim.
Hey!
Yay! Hi!
Guys!
Hello, besties!
We're here! Yay! We're here!
Welcome, welcome, friends. Tonight is very special. We are doing our SJM Theories episode, which, like, we have not gotten to do one of these in a hot minute, y'all, and we are pumped.
We are so excited.
We are pumped to be here. Okay, so let this serve as your spoiler warning for everything that Sarah Jubilee Mass has written up until this date. So we're talking all of ACOTAR from ACOTAR through A Court of Silver Flames, all of Assassin's Blade to Kingdom of Ash, and House of Sky and Breath and House of Earth and Blood.
All the above.
If you have not read one of those works of literature, go read it right now, you fool. And we will be here when you are
exactly
done. Okay.
Exactly. We'll be waiting for you.
All right.
Yes, so spoiler warning for all of that. But before we get started on our very exciting theories episode, we have a few Patreon shout-outs to do.
Yes!
So our tier 2 on Patreon get a shout-out in an episode from us. So, and guys, so sorry, last time I was so excited to talk about Fourth Wing, totally forgot about the Patreon shoutouts, got to the end and was like, we didn't do them, because I was so excited to talk about Zayden. I was in my element, I was with my Zaddy Zayden. So we're going to do like several, because we missed last
also,
episode.
Also, Book Betches, we're thinking about you always, you're just always in our heart, so we just forget sometimes to say it out loud. Okay.
But we love all of you on Patreon, especially our tier 2. So this episode, we are going to be shouting out. We're going to start with someone very special, which is Caitlin Kramer Reeves.
Oh!
Now, if you're thinking to yourself, Kramer, that sounds familiar. That's because it's Christina's cousin-in-law.
It sure is. Hi, Katie. We love you.
Hi, Katie. Yes. So hello to friend of the podcast, Caitlin. And then we also want to shout out Abby, Jen, and I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing this, but I'm going to say Sigrid.
I love that.
Sigrid and Erica. So thank you guys so
Yay!
Much for
thank
being our book
so
betches.
Much.
We are so grateful to you guys on Patreon. Y'all are just the
we
absolute best.
We truly could not be doing this without you. So this is all for you,
yes.
From you. We love you.
We love you. XOXO. Okay. Should we dive in to the theories, ladies?
Yes, let's dive in. Kim, do you want to kick us off with your first theory?
Woo, perfect. Okay. Really quick, right before we get started, guys, we do have 2 other official theories episodes. Those will be linked in our show notes. And we also have an episode that we did right after we finished CC2, where we talk about our favorite moments from the book. And then at the very end, we do discuss like a few theories that we have after the reveal of like, hello, Bryce Quinlan. My name is Rhysand. So we will leave those in the show notes for you just so that you can kind of listen to the other theories that we have, because we have some really fantastic ones in those episodes. So I don't want you guys to miss those.
Hashtag Meryl.
Hashtag Meryl. Hashtag mind blown by blown. Detective Anna. Like literally the greatest theory ever. Okay. So my theory.
Okay, I'm ready.
Let's go, girl.
So one of our listeners tagged us in this on TikTok months and months and months ago. I can't find it now. I'm so sorry. The comments have gotten lost. But it is a theory that just kind of confirms what we're all knowing now about that there's, you know, the worlds are intertwined. Mm-hmm. There's a moss verse, as they're calling it. And this is about a tapestry that exists in the TOG world and the ACOTAR world.
Okay.
But I do have some like follow-up questions at the end about the timeline, because this kind of makes things a little bit tricky. So in Crown of Midnight, there is a tapestry, and here's how it is described. There was no depiction of Elena or a stag or anything lovely and green. No, this tapestry, woven from red thread so dark it looked black, depicted nothing. She touched the strands, marveling at the hue so deep that it seemed to swallow her fingers in its darkness. Okay. Ooh. Okay. Hold that in your brain. Hold it. Pin it. Okay. Pin it. Right.
Pin it.
Now
pin
we're it. Going to A Court of Frost and Starlight. Okay. The novella. Okay. I know what you're thinking. There's nothing in there. I know. But listen, friends. Yeah. Listen. So this is, I believe it's Feyre and Elaine are going to see a weaver. I don't have the specifics. It doesn't matter. So they're in the weaver. They're looking at tapestries. Okay. Mm-hmm. The tapestry had been woven from fabric so black it seemed to devour the light. So black it almost strained the eye. Ooh. The insignia, however, had been rendered in silver thread. No, not silver. A sort of iridescent thread that shifted with sparks of color like woven starlight. Spider silk.
Oh my god, that's spider silk.
Yeah. The moment, yeah.
Oh my God.
The moment my nail touched the velvet soft surface, it seemed to vanish as if the material truly did gobble up all color, all light.
Shut up.
But I looked toward the weaver at the other end of the space, another piece half formed on her loom. Leaving my thought unfinished, I strode for her. I wanted to know about the tapestry with the insignia, the black fabric. What is it? And the weaver says, I call it void. It absorbs the light, creates a complete lack of color. The silver thread, Elaine asked, what is that called? I call it hope. I made it after I mastered void. I stared and stared at the black fabric that was like peering into a pit of hell.
Ooh.
And then stared at the iridescent, living silver thread that cut through it, bright despite the darkness that devoured all other light and color. So, wow.
This is interesting.
So interesting.
Right, Kim, what are your initial
questions? So obviously it's the same tapestry. I think we can all agree with that.
Agreed.
It's canon. It's you can't canon. Argue with it. Two things. So a lot of people in the comments of the TikTok video were saying that the silver thread, obviously they think is spider silk because it's described exactly the same way.
And that's genius.
Genius. And the pit of hell, people thought was very interesting that it was that was described specifically as pit of hell. And apparently the weaver's name is Arania. And that is a legitimate type of weaving spider. A spider that like weaves.
Shut the fuck up.
That is an actual name. No, it's not. Yes. So people are like.
Wait, like that type of, there's a spider
called. There's a spider that's called a weaving spider and it's called Arania. And that is the name of the weaver in A Court of Frost and Starlight.
Oh.
So people are like, is it a, how do you pronounce it? Is it the S-T-Y-G-I-A-N
Stygian?
Spider?
Yeah. The Stygian. Yeah.
Okay, so people are like, so is Arania, this weaver, a Stygian spider, yes. Like is in she, human form?
I bet she is.
Maeve? No, because all of the spiders are her princess.
Right.
Yes, like her maidens. So were they always spiders? Could they have been other things
exactly.
In another world?
Or is this Terracent, Throne of Glass timeline? Future is Prithian. Future
okay.
Is Crescent City. So like we don't know what happened to the spiders when Maeve perished. Maybe they became princesses again and now she has everlasting light and she's just immortal.
But I'm so glad you said that, Christina, because here's the thing though. This screws up our entire timeline because in Throne of Glass, this tapestry was finished and it's being made in ACOTAR. So what does that mean? Because she's seeing Selena is seeing the fully finished tapestry in Crown of Midnight. So early on in TOG.
Yeah,
and then in Frost and Starlight, Elaine and Feyre are seeing it being made.
Okay.
This is interesting.
Okay. That's very interesting.
I mean, two thoughts. I mean, I think the timelines are going to be.
It's nebulous.
It's just, it's all over the place. Like who's to say?
Not us.
Sarah, that's who's to say. But we know that Aelin didn't just fall through worlds, but there's like the theory that like she was a time walker, world walker, yeah, wayfarer, whatever. So if she was doing that, which we've talked about in our previous episode, our previous theories episode, I think the one with Nat actually, then who's to say that there aren't these little portals that people are hopping around through?
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
I mean, maybe there's just these little things that like pockets that people just
I wouldn't be surprised.
People have, that's what they said in the comments, that the tapestry they think, because apparently there's a tapestry that Feyre sees under the mountain, and someone said something about like that there might be a portal behind that. So there's this big theory basically that the tapestries are portals that are ways between,
because it absorbs
everything, all the light, that's all the color. So
also it could be the same weaver, but a different tapestry.
That is true.
Like, it could be
that is true.
Her making it, and then she leaves them in special places.
Ooh. Or she like gives them to people for things, you know?
Yeah.
But like that would make sense with the insignia too. Like this is what she puts on all her tapestry. Like she puts it on them, you know?
Yeah.
Is that? That's very interesting.
This is the spider name.
I know.
Is really like, getting me. That is even, like,
yeah.
Especially because Akasov was written after she already knew that she wanted to do the multiverse.
Exactly.
So basically anything after Queen of Shadows and after like Akawar, I think she knew some a little bit earlier, but it's like it's I would say Empire of Storms, Tower of Dawn,
Kingdom of Ash,
and Kingdom of Ash, the last three probably have the most connections to like CC.
I agree.
They have to. Yeah.
So I really wanted to shout out that theory is from Tara on TikTok. Her username is @snubbulls. I believe. I'm so sorry if I'm mispronouncing that, but this is not my theory. Just want to give full credit to her. Thank you to our listener who tagged us in it. Also, really, really quick, I'm so sorry. I was only going to do one theory, but I was on our queen, Emily's theories on TikTok. Guys, if you are not following this woman, I don't know what you're doing with your life, because she truly, I bow down to her. I bow down to this woman.
Is she back on TikTok?
She is. She's back. She's back.
Oh, good. Guys, if you didn't know, Emily,
I know.
Poor Emily, she is awesome. We've used her theories. I think in Nat's episode, I specifically discussed one of her theories and broke it down for all of you.
I'm going to discuss one tonight. Yeah.
Yes, I'm going off of one of hers too and like riffing off of it. But she got her entire TikTok taken down, her Instagram locked, because she posted something. Guys, what she does is theories. Not everything that she posts, which she even states in her like little bio paragraphs of each post, that she necessarily believes this is going to happen. Or it's not even sometimes what she wishes would happen. It's just she's stating facts
it's observations.
Connections.
Yes.
It's observations. But somebody got so mad at her because she posted something about Elaine and Azriel and Gwyn, and I don't even remember the specifics of it. It's not important. What is important is that somebody lost their freaking mind because they disagreed with it and reported her to like TikTok, whoever you report to, and got her kicked off and her whole account blocked.
Y'all, that is...
And this poor girl...
That is insane behavior.
Yeah, it's insane.
Like, guys, these characters aren't real. Like, I know we get... I know like y'all are like, yeah, Kim, take a note to yourself, because we definitely get worked up about them, but like, we don't need to go ruin someone's life because they posted a theory about a character
exactly.
in a book.
Exactly. Look, we all wish these were real people, and we all feel passionately about them.
Yes.
And that's why we're here. That's why you're here. That's why we're all best friends.
Right.
But we have to draw the line somewhere, and it's just not okay.
Don't yuck anyone's yum, and don't be an asshole.
Yeah, exactly.
It's very easy.
But she's back, which is exciting. She seems to have gotten her whole account reinstated, which is awesome.
Yes.
And I was just like, right before we got on, I was killing time scrolling through some of her theories, because I don't get on TikTok very often, because to me it's like the heroine of social media. Like, I cannot let myself get on it, or 7 hours will go by and I'm like, my children are disheveled and hungry. And anyways.
Yeah.
But I just have to share this with you, because this is so fucking insane, you guys. I screamed when I read it. I screamed. Okay.
Oh my God, read it. Read it.
Okay, this is Sarah talking about the world of like TOG.
Okay.
But the chapter doesn't feel completely closed, because the world of Throne of Glass will be coming out, though I don't yet have a release date for it. The premise of that is, a few years after the events in Kingdom of Ash, Aelin commissioned a very cranky old scholar to write the history of the war. It will feel like a book you could pull off the shelves in Terrasen. Okay. Right. Cranky Scholar, History of the War. Got that?
Okay. Yeah. Got it.
In Tower of Dawn, Cassian says he'll join Aelin's fight against the Valg, that it'll be the great war of their time. So Kael, you know, you all know, you should, if you have read Tower of Dawn, which you should, Kael's asking them, will you fight? And Cassian didn't answer immediately. And he says, this will be the great war of our time. When we are dead, when even our grandchildren's grandchildren are dead, they will still be talking about this war.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Go to Akasoth, a court of silver flames.
Okay, there. Okay. Got it.
So when Nesta is working in the library with Gwyn, right? So this is Nesta. There, volume 8 of the Great War. Nesta had taken a silent step toward it when the priestess's head snapped up. I didn't ask, so like that's when she's getting into it with Meryl. There, volume 8 of the Great War.
I have shivers.
And then the next slide is just that Throne of Glass is 8 books long.
Shut up.
Yeah.
No.
I'm telling you, Meryl, she's...
And the cranky old library. Scholar, the cranky old scholar that Aelin commissioned is 100% Jessica Meryl.
Yes.
Wait. But isn't... What's the book that Gwyn is supposed to be getting for Meryl?
This is nuts, y'all.
That she can't... What number is the... Do you remember?
Yes, like, it's not, she's like, she I'm can't trying find it. This. And then Nesta has to go get it. Nesta gets it. And she's like, it's on her desk. And she's asked for it. And she's just there.
I think it's volume eight of the Great War.
Okay, so here's what it is. I was supposed... This is Gwyn talking. Gwyn says, in Akasoth, I was supposed to deliver volume 7 of The Great War to Meryl yesterday, along with a stack of other books.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series power tool accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price, exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
And I could have sworn I did, but this morning while I was in her office, I looked back at the stack and saw I'd given her volume 8 instead. So she's laying the groundwork right here. Like there's 8 books.
8 books.
Oh my
you guys,
God.
Like,
shut the fuck up.
That's so cool.
Is that not, I was like, I don't care. Drop everything. I am bringing this up in this episode because I am freaking out right now.
I am like, sorry, I can't get over
this. I know, you guys. I read that and I was like, I'm so sorry. What?
Anything having to do with the library and Meryl and Jessica.
And it's very intimate.
Oh, and well, yes. And then the Torrichesme, which we talked about like in our Matt episode, how we talked about how we thought that Torrichesme was also the lost library of whatever, Parthos or something in Midgard.
Yep. Library of Parthos.
Oh my God.
Yep,
so
you're right. Okay,
go, Anna.
Okay, Anna, hit us with your theory, girl.
Okay, so I also have... Okay, so I had a non-Emily theory, and then I was reading it, and I was a little bit like, meh.
She's just so good.
Yeah, I know. She just has the best ones, and they're just very well thought out. And I wanted to do this one. It's about the eight-pointed star and the significance. Uh-huh. And the main reason I wanted to do it is because it actually touches, there's things in this theory that I specifically talk about in the episode at season 3, episode 2 with Nat. Uh-huh. Anyways, okay, so... Okay, so we know that we've already talked about the eight-pointed star at length in other episodes with the dust cord and it being on the floor. Bryce has an eight-pointed star on her chest. Nesta has an eight-pointed star tattooed on her spine. Uh-huh. Aelin does not have one on her physical body, but in Throne of Glass, when she attends the religious ceremony, uh-huh. She's still Selena at this point. One of the acolytes stops at her, and the acolyte has an eight-pointed star on her forehead.
Right.
And I think we talked about this also in one of our other theories episodes, and how she gifts her like Deanna's arrow.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Uh-huh.
So the eight-pointed star is significant throughout the books. Right. In TOG, the eight-pointed star represents like goddesses and gods. Right. So also in TOG, if you remember, Empire Storms, when she's out on the ship, Aelin has the word key,
yes,
the amulet of Orinth around her neck. and who inhabits her body but Deanna.
Right, yes, correct.
So we know that, like, the word key around her neck is kind of like a portal, and it's probably how Deanna was able to access her. Mm-hmm. We also know that she does have god blood, like Mala, Firebringer, also in her blood. But the eight-pointed star, Deanna, specifically, was gifted to her in TOG. Right. Okay? So just kind of all ties that eight-pointed star thing together.
Yes.
Okay. Nesta, like I said, has one tattooed on her spine. So when she puts the mask on in Akasoff, Cassian says, Nesta's eyes blaze with silver fire behind the mask, and Cassian knew the being that looked out was neither fey nor human nor anything that walked the lands of this world. Which you could speculate a little bit, like, you know, take a little leap and be like, okay, maybe like a god or a goddess, right, or something, right? Something other.
I totally forgot about that. Yeah.
Yeah, I did too.
So one of the speculations that is going around is that the cauldron and the word keys and everything could be made from like similar things. Okay. So we know that made items that come out of the cauldron have like their own properties and don't follow like the normal rules of like laws of fey magic and Prithian.
Okay.
So Bryce has the horn tattooed on her spine.
Right.
When she uses the horn, and because when the horn finally gets healed through the synth and she uses the horn, that's when the eight-pointed star appears on her chest. It's not there prior to that.
Oh, correct.
Okay. So if we believe it's the Dread Trove item, it takes her using a made item by the cauldron for the eight-pointed star to appear.
Okay.
So, and again, a symbol of a god, right? The eight-pointed star, symbol of a god.
Yep.
Okay. Keep that in your mind.
Got it.
Pinning it.
When Bryce enters the palace, the Asteri Palace, at the very end of CC2, the quote says, "Something feral opened an eye in Bryce's soul and snarled."
Oh. What?
Read that again.
Okay.
Read that again.
So something feral opened an eye in Bryce's soul and snarled. So could that be
interesting,
like a god or a goddess?
Yeah.
The difference between Bryce, Nesta, and Aelin is Nesta and Bryce were able to remove the items that channeled the god or goddess. Nesta can take off the mask.
Uh-huh.
Aelin can remove the word key.
Yeah.
Bryce can't.
It's in her.
Because the horn is literally tattooed into her body.
Right.
Yeah. And the eight-pointed star is on her body.
Yeah.
She has no, she cannot. So is there something deeper living inside of her?
Interesting.
Possibly.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So keep that. We're going to switch gears for a second.
Okay.
We're still in CC. If you remember at the end of CC1, when Bryce is going into battle and all of the demons of hell is quite literally broken loose, as we say.
Yes.
The Prime of the Wolves says one wolf remains in the square and he's looking at Bryce.
Okay.
So we're all like, oh, he means Bryce. Like, that's so sweet.
Right.
But it says the specific quote, like a paragraph later, is, his, meaning the Prime, his hand curled on his chest, a wolf, he tapped his heart.
Okay,
his heart.
Okay.
When he sees her in CC2 and she goes to visit the Prime, he again taps his heart and says, a wolf.
Okay.
So we all keep thinking like, oh, like Bryce is like a wolf.
And like Danica's like friend soulmate.
Yes. But what if it's more than that? So what if what he's actually saying is it's Danica? Because
no.
When she gets the tattoo on her spine, Hypaxia says, like, what language is this? I've never seen it. And Bryce says it's the language of worlds. And we've said that we think it could be word, like word marks.
Right.
From TOG.
Yes.
Because nobody recognizes it. It's a lost language.
Yeah. Okay.
So she says the next part of the quote is, through love, all is possible. Basically, it means me and my best friend will never be parted.
Wait.
So when the horn is mended by the synth, that is when Bryce like goes to do the drop, right? This is her last ditch effort. And the drop, stated in the book, is a descent into one's soul. And when she does the drop, who does she find at the bottom of her soul?
Danica!
Oh my God.
Danica.
Wait. Hold on.
What?
Yes. Okay, wait. Say what the drop is. It's a descent.
It's a descent into one's soul. And when she had the tattoo, it says, this is her quote. Like, basically it means me and my best friend will never be parted. And the wolf taps his heart and says, a wolf.
Oh, God. And read the feral line again.
Okay.
What was the feral line again?
Oh, yes. Something feral opened an eye in Bryce's soul and snarled.
That was Danica.
That was Danica.
I mean,
wolf snarls.
That was fucking Danica as a wolf.
SJM has said Danica's dead.
But her wolf might not be. What if her wolf soul is in her somehow or something?
Wow.
Yes. Or just somehow like...
A piece of her somehow. Yeah.
Yeah.
A piece of her.
Okay. So.
I love this. I love it.
I love it. Here for it. Very into it.
So all of this begs like the question, who is Danica? What is she really? Because remember, Danica told Baxian and Baxian told everybody that Danica was searching for a new world, like a way to a new world,
yes,
another world.
Right, right.
And she also told Baxian, I'm going to die before that happens. You know, and we're not here to debate her methods of madness.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
But it's a fantasy book and there's always a quest. And without Danica, there'd be no
quest.
Right,
no quest.
Correct.
So... She started the domino, or she started laying the little, like, groundwork to try to get to this new world because she knew she wasn't going to get there. So if part of that was, like, the portal and the horn and she started to make these connections and everything, could part of her know that she needed to be with Bryce to get to this new world? Was this the only way Danica, because she was going to die, was going to get to this new world because maybe there was something unfinished she needed to do? And this was the only way that she could get there.
Right, right, right.
Because, and this goes back to a theory we talked about, when I was doing, and Emily also talks about this, but when I was doing, you know how I search all the name meanings and stuff?
Yes, yes, yes.
Yes.
So Danica, spelled differently without the K, if you sub the K for a C, in some folklore means dusk goddess.
Right, correct. Oh my God, I forgot about this.
So yes. Like, did Danica put the horn on her, do all of this? It's not to say that Danica is actually the heir to the dusk court, but could she be like this
involved,
this in, like, you yeah. know, this wayfarer, this person who's guiding Bryce there,
yeah,
because she knows that's where Bryce needs to be,
and this is right. her job, her like duty, her thing she has to do to get
yeah.
her there. Yes.
Yeah,
there's yeah, just yeah, like yeah, all yeah. these coincidences with like
but the thing is also I don't think that she ever has coincidences, and that's why this is so fascinating.
Yeah for sure. Yeah. For sure,
guys, how is she gonna answer all of these questions?
I don't know.
I'm very nervous.
I really don't.
All right.
Oh my gosh. And a great theory.
Really?
Go,
really?
Christina.
Great, yes. Anna. Yes. I am done.
All right. So, guys, I'm so excited about this one. I have been literally sitting on this for
months. Oh my God.
Months.
I can't wait.
I've been waiting to hear it.
Like, I truly have been sitting on this for months. So excited to talk
How?
To you.
Because listeners, Kim, Christina, and I have been trying to record this episode, but life just keeps getting in the way.
Yeah.
And all three of us have, like, promised not to look up each other's theories so that we could all be surprised.
Exactly.
Yes.
So I'm very excited to hear Christina's because I don't know it.
Okay.
All right. So this also began from an Emily's theories. Again, we bow down to Emily. I want to give full credit to her. I kind of took it and, like, went in different directions and, like, researched myself and did, like, mm-hmm. different little tangents. But the original backbone outline, like, for sure came from her. So, like, credit to her. Okay. So, you know how in ACOTAR, we are like, okay, the mother, right? Oh, the mother created
Yes.
And they're like, by the cauldron. Uh-huh. Oh, the mother, whatever.
Right.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what if the mother is Aelin?
Huh? You're throwing me for a loop.
Okay.
What?
Okay. Go with me here. All right. Here's what we know about the creation of Prithian. It is from Amryn. Amryn says that the day that she came to Prithian was the day the rip appeared in the sky. Okay?
Uh-huh.
She talks about how she recalls a huge rip in the sky, and it was in her home world. She sees it. She's like, curiosity goes through it. Okay. So then we have the conversation with Feyre describing Amryn, how she got here, whatever. Now, this quote is, the legends claim that when our world was born, i.e. when Prithian was born, there were rips in the fabric of the realms. In the chaos of forming, so in the chaos of Prithian being formed, all right, Prithian's being made, things are happening, there's rips in the fabrics. Creatures from other worlds could walk through one of those rips and enter our world, okay?
Okay.
I now want to take you to Kingdom of Ash, and I want to read this quote for you. Not for them, never for them. The gods began shouting, running towards her, as Aelin ripped open a hole in their sky.
Wait.
Okay.
So what if that ripping...
Rip.
...is the ripping?
That Amryn is talking about.
Her ripping is actually the ripping of the sky that Amryn's talking about, that they say the legend happened that created Prithian. And in that forming of the Ripian, of the Ripian, of the Prithian, we're ripping, we're Prithian. Ripian. We're Ripian. Okay. So all of that. Okay, go with me. So she's ripping somehow in that created Prithian. And that also opened room for other people to come. Okay. So this line that Emily highlighted here has changed my entire outlook of how we think the multiverse is. It just confirms so many things.
Do tell.
Oh my God.
So this line, and it's so simple, but somehow it just really confirms so much. So this is from Kingdom of Ash. The word gate sealed behind her, and yet she was not home. As it closed, all worlds overlapped.
What? It says that?
This is the
in
word.
In Kingdom of Ash?
As it closed, all worlds overlapped.
Shut the fuck up.
Overlapped?
Swear to God, guys. Overlapped.
Sarah just fucking said it how right there.
How did we miss this?
Sarah just goes, like, yeah, they overlap. She just literally said
it. She literally told us. As it closed,
she just told us
worlds overlapped. Oh my God.
So I think that maybe in the ripping and the things, Prithian did exist. She did create it somehow, okay? But even in that, we're still linear. We're still Terrasen, Prithian's future, Crescent City's way future. We're still but she ripped it, that happened, things are crazy. And then she sealed the word gate and everything went haywire and just went like overlapped itself.
Yeah.
And then she fell through and that's what she's falling
Interesting.
Through. And that's how they're all stacked.
Yes.
Because and really that was her future, but it fell and it went into overlap. Like they all overlapped.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that then now they're actually all on the same up and down trajectory.
Correct.
But they would have been linear. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I think that somehow.
Which would then allow for if TOG characters were going to come into play, that is how this would work.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Because actually we're not out of their timeline. They are we're overlapping.
Overlapping. Yes.
Well, now, just to back this up, here's a quote from our girl, Meryl.
Meryl.
My girl.
Okay. Actually, this Meryl. Is when talking about Meryl, but, you know, same thing. When she first came here, she was obsessed with theories regarding the existence of different realms, different worlds, living on top of each other without even knowing it. And then she says it might be possible for worlds to overlap, occupying the same space but separated by time.
By time. Okay.
All right. So that's only piece one, guys. We got a little bit to go. So that's piece one.
Oh my God.
Here we go. Okay. Next piece is the cauldron. Okay, let's think about the cauldron. The backstory of the cauldron is that this woman with the slender hands or something has the power in the cauldron. She pours it over and there's what actually is said is this golden sparkling liquid pouring over it, and this is important, small symbols perhaps of some ancient fairy language were effervescent, i.e. word marks, baby.
Word marks. Oh my God.
Whoa.
Okay, so that's interesting.
Wait, right. She calls them ancient?
Ancient fairy language. So that's very interesting.
Okay,
now,
that's very interesting.
So some other cauldron things. We're going to just be on the cauldron for a minute here.
Okay, we're in the cauldron.
Cauldron
mindset. Here. Okay, here we go, guys. Cauldron has three legs, specifically three legs. Why would it have three legs? I don't know. Maybe because it's very similar to the three word keys in TOG. There were three word keys. There are three legs of the cauldron. Okay. Yes.
Shut
exactly what you were saying.
Made from the same thing.
Okay.
Whoa.
Damn you, Sarah. Damn you.
Yes. Okay. Wait. Another really important, interesting thing is.
My mind is blown.
Oh no. You just wait.
Oh God.
Wait.
You don't even know.
There's more?
Oh yes. Okay. So, Aelin, to forge the lock, had to give three word keys and all of her power, right? She had to give up her power to create this. Listen to what the cauldron's power is, guys. Listen to this. The cauldron's power.
Oh my God.
Is to burn living creatures into ash within seconds with an attack that contains the same heat and light as the sun.
Shut your
fucking mouth right now.
Aelin.
It's Aelin's power.
Oh my God.
She's the mother.
I would love this.
Oh my God. I love Aelin.
And this is, so pretty much she was ripping and she created this thing. And then the word keys are the legs And then her power, like, went into it.
So she, like, inadvertently does it. Like, it's...
The lore is, like, she poured it. Like, you know what I
mean? Yeah, when you initially said it, I was, like, having a hard time. I was, like, what do you mean? Like, Aelin just, like, went and was, like...
Oh, no, I don't think she was, like, oh, I think it should be a cauldron. Boop-a-doops.
No, but this makes so much sense because she, like, fucked with this.
Yes. Okay, wait, guys, we got more. I got more. Okay, all right.
Okay, okay. Oh, God. All right. Okay.
Okay.
Wait, okay, now go with me here. That the cauldron... is a word gate. Not even just because of, like, the word marks and the word legs, all these things.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand-new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.
Other interesting things. Okay, remember, Amryn, to nullify the cauldron, okay? What did she have to do?
Yes.
She had to give up her current body. She had to forget those she loved. And she had to unleash her power of light and flame. Do we remember what Mala Firebringer had to do to forge the lock? She had to give up her current body. She had to forget the one she loved. And she had to unleash her power of light and flame, people. Light.
She had to do all of that.
My God.
Oh my God.
Yeah. To seal the word gate.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what Amryn had to do to nullify the cauldron. That's what they had to do to seal the word gate.
Shut up.
Shut up. Shut up.
Well, because, and Mala does that to forge
the lock. But she doesn't actually end up shutting it.
And then, then Aelin.
Yes.
Well, Aelin was just going to die. But, like, same thing.
Yeah.
She was going to give up everything.
Yeah. Her power.
To Dorian's seal the word gate.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Isn't that nuts? Y'all, that this part really got me.
Can Aelin get her power back?
Please! That's all I've ever wanted.
Interesting. Yes. That's where it is. It's in the cauldron.
Yeah,
can she just go and, like, suck it all out?
Suck it out of Elaine. Elaine doesn't even want to be Fae. Just take it out of Elaine.
Elaine doesn't want to be Fae.
Send Elaine back to the pastures, you know? Just send her back.
Oh, God.
But the only other thing on this theory that I think is really interesting is that, like, if you think about the actual meaning of word gates and how it's described in Throne of Glass, it is very much described as from which everything came, which is also how the cauldron is described.
Yes.
And the word gates need 3 keys and the cauldron needs 3 feet both, like, to function and, like, operate.
Yeah because that's part of the thing is that the feet were taken off of the cauldron.
And separated
across the world.
Like word keys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that fun?
That is insane. Yeah. Guys, the level of this?
Wait. Here's another thing. Think about this. The cauldron being a word gate, okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
Therefore, portal, word gate, all the things. The Book of Breathings is put into the cauldron.
The cauldron.
Yeah.
Who has it?
Jessabah.
In Crescent City.
Yeah, people keep asking, like, well, if it's in the cauldron, how did it get to Jessabah?
Because it's a word gate. It's a portal. It's a word gate portal.
It has to be.
I'm loving this.
Oh, my God.
Isn't that interesting?
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Okay. So, you guys, we asked our patrons to send in some of their favorite theories, like SJM, multiverse theories, and that we were going to shout them out in an episode potentially. So thank you guys so much for doing that.
So many fun ones. Oh my gosh, this was so fun for us to look
through. So many fun ones.
Yes.
So the first comment that we're going to talk about comes from Sam. So thank you, Sam. And she says, okay, not so much a theory, but I can't stop thinking about Tamlin's shape-shifting. While all of the High Lords can shift to their animal form, presumably he can turn himself into anything, i.e. shifting Andras, who was like the guard. Remember, he shifted him into the wolf. And the way Feyre with his powers can shift into Ianthe. It just feels like it opens the door to any character being Tamlin as an imposter, and I feel overwhelmed with the possibilities. especially given Regulus slash Adis, like, has she hidden something similar in ACOTAR that we've missed?
Oh, that's so interesting, Sam.
Because you know how Adis pretended to be Regulus, and Tamlin has that very same ability to, like, completely shift, because Feyre turned into Ianthe, and people thought she was Ianthe.
And he's the only one who can do that.
Yeah.
Has it been happening and we didn't know?
Yes.
Because he was able to shift his guard into a wolf, like, completely.
Yeah, I always forget that.
Yeah.
Then, therefore, he can be anyone at any time.
Right.
So, like, which is really interesting in the next ACOTAR book. Like, I feel like I'm really going to think about this, Sam. Like, anytime anyone acts like not themselves, I'm like, is that Tamlin?
Yeah.
Like, are you Tamlin? Tam-Tam?
Now it's in your brain.
It's in my brain. I feel like it's, we don't know. I don't know. I'm just so interested in Tamlin in general. Like, what is she going to do with him? Is there going to be a redemption arc? Like,
agreed.
You know, like, and I feel like we haven't gotten a lot of information about his powers specifically. It's really been more through, like, what Feyre does with his drop of power.
Yeah, no,
you
totally.
Know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So that's super interesting. Sam, thank you so much for your comment.
That's fascinating. I'm going to hold on to that.
I know.
Pin it.
I'm going to hold on to that note. We're going to pin it, Sam.
Put a pin in it.
Okay. So the second one is from Claire Williams, and it's about Tower of Dawn. So, of course, I had to pick it.
of course.
I'm very biased towards Tower of Dawn. So Tower of Dawn, chapter 55. Irene's smile was brighter than the glow rippling off her body. A star. She was a fallen star. Could Irene and Bryce's power be similar? In which case, if the Asteri are Valg, could Bryce use her Starborn power to defeat them the same way Irene defeats Erewhon?
I love this.
We
love this idea.
When we were reading TOG, I know the three of us talked about the resemblance and the similarities described between the use of your Irene's power and Bryce.
Yes.
And the bright light, and it could, like, and it could heal things, and Bryce, when she uses her light.
I really love
that's
this
very
call out
interesting.
Though, Claire. I love the call out of the actual words of she's a fallen star, because
she's a fallen star.
I even remember us having that conversation, and I don't remember thinking about that quote as much as we should have.
I don't remember thinking that.
Because that is fascinating. Because
she is
a fallen star feels like one of these moments that Sarah's like, I literally said it, guys.
Said it.
I told you the world overlapped. I told you she's a fallen star.
He was a falling star.
Come on. I love this idea. I think it's really cool.
I do too.
Claire, thank you for bringing it up.
Thank you, Claire.
Yes, Claire. Because I love Irene too. And I think, like, giving her more, like, I don't know.
I'm all for that. She's a queen. She's a queen.
Well, Kim, just off of the fact that we're on Tower of Dawn, your favorite book.
Yeah.
A little, like, rapid fire thing I found while I was, like, searching. I don't know. I was searching keywords. I can't remember how I found it.
Things we do in our spare time. Yeah.
Things we do in our spare
casually.
Time. So, okay, this quote. So Nezrin is with Sartak, and it's like, I don't know, the second half of the book, 65% or something like that.
Yeah.
And they find a sword.
Okay.
And it says, Nezrin studied the short sword in her hand, the metal shining as if imbued with starlight, interrupted only by the carvings down the fuller. I wonder what the markings say, she asked. And then neither of them know.
Okay.
But it's just interesting that, like, we know that a lot of the swords in ACOTAR were made, like, as couples. So, like, a long sword and then, like, a short sword, like a dagger, like Truth Teller and...
Got it.
The star sword that, like, Bryce has.
Yeah, right.
So this one is described as a short sword. So it would be like Truth Teller.
Yeah.
And it's described as having, like, starlight. So could there be another long sword? Because, you know, Truth Teller is like obsidian. It's like black. It absorbs, like, there's no light.
Right.
Like the tapestry.
And then the carvings, which neither of them can read.
Very interesting.
Could be interesting.
So interesting, Anna. I love that.
I love that.
Christina.
Okay. All right. So this is something that we've kind of touched on a little bit, and it's something that I just, like, kind of just, it was in my brain place, and I just, like, really dug in there. And I was like, let me just, like, kind of research this a little more. And then I went so deep in the researching today, y'all. Okay.
I love it.
So, as we know, we don't know anyone in ACOTAR's last name. We don't know any of the High Lords' last names. We know no one's last names.
Yep.
This theory is that we don't know their last names because all of the High Lords in ACOTAR are descended from TOG characters. and it's been hidden because it's going to be a reveal.
What?
Let me tell you why. Okay, we're going to go through the courts.
Okay, go through them, girl.
Spring court.
Spring. Tam Tam.
What if Tam Tam is the descendant from Lysandra and Adian? Just go with me here. He's a shapeshifter. Yeah, shapeshifter. Okay, and description. I want you to listen to this. Lysandra has emerald green eyes. Okay?
Uh-huh.
Adian has long, this is from the books. Okay.
Okay.
Long golden blonde hair and turquoise eyes ringed with gold.
Ash River eyes.
Okay.
Listen to Tam Tam's description. He has long golden blonde hair and deep green eyes flecked with gold.
Shut your fucking mouth.
I swear to God, guys.
That would explain why he sucks, because of Adian.
That's exactly what it is.
It's Adian's fault. I love this. Listen, we can all tie this back to Adian being a piece of garbage trash, and that is why Tamlin is the way that he is. Love it. Don't care if we're wrong. Signed, sealed, delivered. This is it.
Oh my God, I love it.
I love it.
Okay.
Say less. Say less. I'm with you. This is Adian's fault. Guys, you heard it here first. Tam Tam is an asshole from Adian. Moving on.
You've heard it here first. Everything is Adian's fault, including Akatar. Okay.
I love it. Okay.
But no, so because like his eyes are deep green flecked with gold. And you're like, oh, okay. Well, I don't know. Adian's eyes are turquoise ringed with gold. But then you put in Lysandra, her eyes are emerald, y'all.
Yeah, no.
And shapeshifter.
The shapeshifter is
huge. The math be mathing.
The math is mathing.
Okay. All right. Next up, we have the Winter Court, which is the Whitethorns. Okay. And that is because both of them have powers of ice and wind and white hair, people.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Literally, it says ice and wind, like white silver hair.
Yeah.
I don't know where Aelin plays in, and that's a little problematic, but we're going to keep going.
Well, his family doesn't, but all of his family, like, don't they all use wind?
Yes.
So it could be like, you know, it doesn't have to necessarily be Aelin and
Rowan. But it could be the Whitethorn family.
Agreed.
He has cousins.
Yeah. He's got a lot of cousins.
Yeah.
I think Aelin and Rowan were cousins.
Anna, you know how that triggers me, Anna. I don't like to bring that up.
Guys, it's like so far. That'd be like.
It doesn't matter, Anna. I don't like to think about it.
500 years old.
It plagues me to this day, and I put it out of my mind.
Anna, we don't speak of
and
it.
And now you've brought it up again, and hilarious. Now it's all I can think about. Great. All
right, you two. Raven. All right. So, okay. Whitethorns. But the Whitethorns are ice and wind, guys. Ice and
gotta
wind.
Gotta be the Winter Court. Gotta be the Winter
Court.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. So, moving on to Dawn. Dawn
is, okay.
Urine and Kale. Their power is healing.
Healing. Gotta be.
Now, listen to this. Urine is described, okay?
Okay.
Golden brown skin and rich brown curly hair with flashes of dark gold. Listen to Thessen. Brown skin and hair kissed with gold.
Oh, guys. My God.
Shut up.
It's Urine's descendant.
It's Urine and Kale. Don't forget Kale.
Oh, sorry. Kale. He's there too. I looked it up. Thessen has rich brown eyes and Kale has copper brown eyes.
There you go. There's my boy.
Where Urine's eyes are accented by her gold brown eyes. So gold brown eyes, copper eyes.
Gold brown eyes.
Gold, copper, brown. Same
We're
thing.
We're all mixing
Same thing.
Together. Holy shit.
Oh my God.
Shit.
Okay. Holy All shit. Right, moving on.
Okay.
This is the
Who's
best
next?
One.
Who's next?
This is the best one. Okay.
Best?
All right.
What?
Night Court. Dorian and Manon.
Shut up.
Shut up! Okay. Guys, I got a lot here.
Wait, how?
I'm gonna cry.
We're gonna start with number one, which is my favorite. Here we go. Okay, guys, this is how Dorian's described. His eyes are strikingly blue. Something about the way that they contrasted with his raven black hair. I want you to hear how Reese is described. His short black hair gleamed like raven's feathers.
Oh my God.
Oh, Sarah.
Oh, Sarah.
And then we all like, oh, his eyes are violet, right? No.
Yeah.
Actually, the line is their blue eyes so deep they were violet.
Oh yes. My God.
Okay.
Everybody thinks his eyes are actually purple, but they're not. They're very deep blue.
And you know what his hair is? Like Raven's feathers. And you know what Dorian's hair is? Raven black. Okay.
Oh, all right. All my right. God. All right.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
Next. Menon is an Iron Teeth, which means that she is a product of Valg and Fae. Meaning, correct, then the descendants could have Valg powers. I want you to listen to the Valg powers. Valg are able to summon darkness to shroud them. Also use darkness as a weapon, Reese. Also, Valg are able to enter a person's mind and interfere with their memories, Reese.
Reese.
Yes.
Yep. Literally enter people's minds, which is Daemadi. Like, people can enter Daemadi minds, whatever. But the memory manipulation is specific.
Yes.
Because he can go in and alter people's memories to not remember things. He can go in and do that stuff. No one else can do that stuff.
So.
Yeah.
There is a theory about Reese having Valg.
Okay.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Maeve.
Maeve.
I know. I didn't like it. I don't like it because it's Maeve. Right. Okay. Right. I don't like it because it's Maeve. Right.
Okay.
But Maeve is Valg. Okay, and Menon is, the witches are half Valg, half Fae.
Yeah, okay, okay.
Maeve, what is her power? She can literally, she controlled Rowan's mind and made him believe he had a different Maeve.
Yes!
They both have violet eyes.
Wait, Maeve has violet eyes?
So for some reason, like, I couldn't find it in the book, but when you go to, like, the fandom sites, her eyes are described as violet.
That's...
I couldn't find it, though.
Interesting.
Yeah. So he, so like you said, Rhysand has hair that gleamed like a raven's. Maeve, quote, the raven-haired beauty.
No!
Okay. No.
Yep.
Oh,
Raven. They both can, like, control minds and specifically listen to the way it's described. This is Maeve, okay? And using her powers, she ripped into their minds, made them believe they had a sister, an elder sister, to rule them, right? That's what she talks about, how she talks about she had the fae queens.
Yeah. Okay.
Then she said, then another quote is, there was a faint pulse in the air, a throbbing against her blood, a tapping, then a razor sharp slicing against her mind as if Maeve were trying to cleave open her skull to peer inside. She pushed, this is Aelin, she pushed back against the claws in her mind.
Claws, claws, claws.
So then Rhysand, it's then a scrape of claws inside my mind that only sliced against black glittering adamant. I threw up my lingering will into that wall as the claws pushed.
Claws.
Okay.
Oh, y'all, that's very interesting. I have something as well.
Okay, go.
I just searched in Air of Fire the word violet, and do you want to hear what I found?
What?
This is talking about Maeve. She left her nephew kneeling as she turned her violet starry eyes to Selena.
Starry?
No! Starry.
It says violet
starry.
Starry eyes, y'all.
I mean, that's it.
Y'all.
That's it.
Violet starry.
They're fucking related.
Wait, but why do they have to be related?
I don't know, but obviously they are. I don't like it. Damn it, Sarah.
Okay.
How though? Like, I mean, like, are they, is it like, I don't think it's his mother.
No.
I don't think it's Maeve's mother.
I think it's the past.
I think it's like great grandmother.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Christina, did you have any more quartz or was that?
I didn't have more quartz, but I do have two really quick things about him being descendant from Menon and Dorian. One being that he can do the same sexy octopus things that Dorian can with his hands. Dorian can do.
Yes.
He's like got shadow hands.
Yes. He's a sexy octopus too.
Sarah's gifted us with two sexy octopuses.
They're both sexy octopuses, you guys.
They're octopi. They're sexy octopuses.
Octopi.
Yeah. And then we have that. If we remember, Menon takes the yellow legs, grandma. They don't call it matron. The yellow legs matron.
The matron.
And she takes her crown. Right? And she puts it on her head.
Yes.
Yeah, right.
How is it described? Shut the fuck up.
That crown is described as a crown of stars.
Stop it. Oh my God. Shut up.
So, okay, I'm going to read you the quote from Throne of Glass. Menon plunged Bronwyn's sword into the icy earth beneath and bent to take the crown of stars from the yellow leg witch's fallen head. Okay? This is a quote from Akamath. His hands were in his pockets. His black tunic seemed to gobble up the light, and on his head sat a crown of stars.
Shut up.
Shut up. Oh my God, no. He's descended from Dorian and Menon, my babies.
Like, y'all.
Oh my God, I can't.
I need a minute.
Can you, wait, hold on. Everyone, just go with me here. Just close your eyes and go with me here. Okay, if there's a moment, we're in the next ACOTAR book, we're in the next Crescent City book, and Reese is like, hello, my name is Reese Ann Havillard.
I would throw the book across the fucking room. And I would scream.
I would sob.
Sobbing.
Screaming, sobbing, crying, throwing up.
The idea of him.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Being a Havillard makes me want
Dorian.
Sob in the happiest Dorian. Way possible.
Because we know that means that they've got, like, to be together.
They were in love and they had babies.
And that's the way she's telling us. Also, that means that Rune, like, it descends all the way out. Because Rune, we know, is attached.
Yes, because
right?
Rune, yes.
So then, like, Rune is a descendant of Dorian. Like, how amazing would that be?
Oh my God.
This is the greatest thing I've ever heard in my entire life.
I'm obsessed.
I love everything about this.
Me too. I love it so much.
I am unwell.
I can't stop thinking about this. I'm not going to go to bed.
No, I'm going
to
be up.
There's no sleep tonight.
Well, and it's an interesting thing from a post I written about where I asked what people were looking forward to learning the answers to. And Victoria, thank you, Victoria, mentioned like Rhysand's sister possibly being Rune's mother.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And so then I went and looked her up and she has the deep blue eyes. And the only thing that, again, it's like similar to my issue with Maeve is the way that Rune's mother is described is so submissive and so broken.
Yeah.
And it's really kind of like hard for me to imagine Rhysand's sister being that way. But I don't know what kind of like hell she's been put through. So I guess, I don't know. But it's just kind of hard for me to like picture that. But I mean, obviously there's some connection because Bryce looks at Rhysand and is like, dude, you look like my brother.
Right.
Oh, yeah. They're 100% related. I just don't know if it's as close as sister to
mom. I don't know that it's necessarily like that close.
Right.
It could be like, hey, we're distantly related because there was a rip and half of your fae are here now.
Right.
Victoria's point, and thank you, Victoria, I do think it's interesting that we know nothing about a sister. Like, I think that there could be something there. Like, we really don't know much about her at all. And that is a character that I could see her playing with that character, like, way more than we have. Yes, I agree.
Absolutely, for sure.
So, Christina, is there anything else before we wrap up?
I think that's it for tonight. Let's keep the rest for later. Let's like save the rest for our next times. But I think this is we've gotten a lot of good stuff.
Oh my gosh.
This was so fun, guys.
Guys, this was incredible. Like our theories episodes are my favorites ever. And I'm so happy we got to do this again after such a long time.
Agreed.
I'm so excited. Okay, so that is gonna be it for this theories episode. If you are not a part of our Patreon family, please consider joining our little Book Besties community over there. We have so much fun. We post a lot of like behind the scenes and like fun bookish content that you won't see on our main feed. So please consider joining our Patreon family. It's just patreon.com/Flights of Fantasy Podcast. And be sure you're following us on Instagram @Flights of Fantasy Podcast and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And until next time, cheers and happy reading.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Happy
cheers.
Reading. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.